Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. Today we're thrilled to have a distinguished guest, Assembly Member Audrine Nazarian, a beacon of public service and a visionary leader. Audrine's journey from an immigrant fleeing Iran to a pivotal member of the California State Assembly is nothing short of inspiring. With a degree in economics from UCLA, Audrine's early career was marked by civic engagement, working with esteemed figures like Congressman Howard Berman and Governor Gray Davis. Elected to the California State Assembly in 2012, he has been a tireless advocate for youth opportunities, economic development, and affordable housing. Now, as he embarks on a new chapter, running for the LA City Council in 2024, Audrine continues to shape a brighter future for Californians. Let's dive in into this remarkable story and insights on leadership, resilience, and making a meaningful impact in the world of politics. Assemblymember Audrine Nazarian, I am so excited to have you. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
My pleasure. Oh my God. I have so many questions for you. I'm so excited to have you here today. As you know, I love diving in and starting with the why, so I'm going to start with that. What's the why behind your career in public service?
Okay, so I hate to break it to you, but as all wonderful things, it was a total accident. You know, first of all, in some ways, there was a lot of different confluences, different things that got me prepared for this point. But how it actually happened was I wanted to go to law school. I wanted to, just being an Armenian, being someone who's felt the injustice of genocide and unresolved genocide, both internally and externally, because both have significant consequences. Internally, I don't think as a community we've ever really dealt with the genocide, even 110 years almost later. And externally, given that we're constantly looking for validation for what happened and the injustice that happened, it's been a tormenting factor. So I wanted to dedicate my life to justice and social justice because I came to the United States at the age of 8. And when I learned how the legal system works here, it had such a profound impact on me because I realized even a minority position holding, viewpoint holding group can prevail utilizing law. That is a pretty profound concept that we don't see in most places around the world. And so I wanted to go to law school, and so I embarked on doing a lot of different internships. I went to the courthouse in Van Nuys and filled out domestic violence reports from primarily women, battered and abused individuals. I was trying to learn the law and get in, build a good resume. Meanwhile, I was falling in love with public policy and just learning about the great needs. You know, coming from the Iranian-Armenian culture, we were, I think, to some extent sheltered from seeing all the challenges that people sometimes have. And when you avail yourself to the public process, you realize how much needs there are. California from the outside looks like an amazing place. We're the fourth largest economy in the world. Los Angeles County itself is the 30th largest county economy in the world. But then when you delve in and you see the need, you see how many people are living in poverty, barely making by, and what those pressures do to families and tear people apart a lot of times, you start understanding the need. And so all throughout college, I worked not knowing that I was actually getting ready, preparing myself for a career in the political and governance arena. And so after college, I decided to take a year off and instead of applying to law school, do a Coro Fellowship program, which was a training program that got me involved in campaigns and government work. That opened doors. I ended up getting assigned to Congressman Brad Sherman's campaign. He ended up winning. And after my program ended, he said, why don't you come and work for me? And I thought, great, here's a Harvard Law School graduate. I'll get a great letter recommendation from him. So I'll go work for him for a year. The year turned into two. And And then I realized I was getting a lot of calls at that time from Armenians living in Glendale because of need for visas. Mm. So I started helping out and I started asking questions. Well, why aren't you calling your own member of Congress? And when I would hear the responses of people not getting the help or the support mm-hmm. they need because they're not voters.
Right.
And so they wouldn't have an open door to them. My friend and I, who was involved in campaigns, decided, you know, maybe it's time we started registering voters of Armenian heritage in Glendale and get them involved in the political arena. So I delayed going to law school yet again, left Brad's office, Congressman Sherman's office, to manage a campaign in Glendale for a little-known individual, Rafi Manoukian.
Yeah.
He ended up winning. We surprised everyone. He's now the city treasurer after serving three terms as city council member. That opened the door for more activism and political opportunity for people to get involved. And then soon enough in Glendale, you had a majority of Armenian Americans serving in council, in school board, in community college, and it brought a certain level of activity. So now we need to continuously grow, figure out how we make progress. Politically, we're in the adolescent years. We're still figuring things out, you know. But that's to answer your why. It was really a mistake. I was trying to get into a good law school, but I'm still building my resume to go to a good law school. Let me put it that way. So
that's incredible. But can I tell you something? I was actually having this conversation with my daughter, who's a junior in high school right now. And I was explaining to her that she needs to go with the flow.
Absolutely.
And it seems like that's precisely what you did. You
Absolutely.
Went with the flow, and now you're exactly where you need to be. From outside, it seems like you are meant to do what you're doing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you're good at it. And that's just that's probably one of the best why stories I've heard. I'll be honest with you. Even though you're saying it's accidental. All right, so let's dive in and talk a little bit about what motivated you to transition from California State Assembly to running for the LA City Council in 2024.
A couple of things. First of all, I really wasn't going to run for State Assembly. Before I was in the Assembly for 10 years, I was a staffer for about 15 years. Having worked for Brad Sherman, Gray Davis, Tom Labange, Paul Koretz, and then I was Paul Krikorian's chief of staff mm-hmm. when he was in the Assembly and in City Hall before I ran for office. I wasn't really thrilled about running for office, partially because just the background that we come from, right? I came from Iran. When I was an immigrant here, no one talked about their Iranian background or heritage because of the U.S. hostage crisis. Mm-hmm. But not only that, it was just that when you come to the United States, you want to be like Ken Dahl. You want to become mm-hmm. as American as possible, as quickly as possible. You know, when you're young, especially.
Yeah.
You don't want to speak with an accent. You don't want to, you want to be as imbued in your newfound culture as possible so that you advance. And so that's what I was doing. But at the same time, I was in an Armenian school, so I was able to maintain both my close ties to heritage while at the same time,
building new ones.
Building, exactly. Yeah. A level of awareness and engagement, yeah. enculturation in my overall community as well. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's one of the building blocks that goes into it.
It does. And I love the fact that you, you're always very present. It seems like you're always sort of present and when I was educating myself with your experiences, One thing, I can't wait to talk about youth organizations because I'm personally a huge fan of that, actually. And maybe we can dive into that.
Let me also just finish it off. I was going to round it out. So the reason why I ended up then running for the assembly was when I was Paul's chief of staff and he ran for the city for city council, he left behind an unexpired term in the assembly. Mm. So a lot of folks thought, well, I run campaigns, I know government, and with Paul will definitely support me, and I can run for the assembly seat. I didn't want to do it. I had grown up in the Valley. I didn't want to move to Glendale to run for that seat. And I wasn't crazy about the state legislature because I always felt in the legislature you get lost. Whereas in city council, a place like LA City Council, you are one of 15. Mm-hmm. And you have tremendous amount responsibility on making things work in the council because city and state governments are very different. One operates at a 30,000 feet view. The other operates on a day-to-day, mm-hmm. hour-to-hour basis. There's a pothole that needs to get fixed. You got to fix it. If not, many cars will be devastated. If there's not a stop sign where there needs to be, there will be more accidents. If there are not good signalization of intersections, there will be more accidents and pedestrian potential, God forbid, fatalities. Right. So all of these things you need to do on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis, and urgent responsiveness is very critical. That's what I always liked.
Yeah.
The state was just so much slower. But what ended up happening was I said no the first time. Then when I was Paul's chief of staff, the second opportunity came 3 years into being with him in the city where redistricting, every 10 years there's redistricting of the different boundaries mm-hmm. of offices. The state assembly, the 46th assembly district was drawn into existence. And so, Paul looked at me at that time and said, I know you said no the last time, but how about now? If you run now, I'm in council, you can be in the assembly, we can work well together.
I love that.
So I talked to my wife, I needed to get her blessing.
She's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. And, so
and your kids are gorgeous.
Well, I'm glad they took it after her.
I feel like he looks like you. Your oldest son looks like you.
Thank you.
And the two youngest look more like her.
So anyway, that's kind of the story of how this came about. And I'm now pursuing something that I really wanted to pursue because council is where you make a daily impact on people's lives.
I would assume it's a harder job.
There's more demand. There's a lot more demand.
Yeah.
The call volume is a lot more intense.
Wow. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about Olympics. Mm-hmm. Olympics is coming. We're all excited. Small businesses are excited. Mm-hmm. How do you think we're preparing for it? Are we, especially, you know, I'm on the business side of things and I work with the city of LA. I was partnered with the city of LA to promote the new platform called Ramp, mm-hmm. Ramp.LA, where, you know, we promoted for the small businesses to get registered so that they can be involved in government opportunities and contract opportunities, especially if the Olympics is coming.
Yeah.
You know, the city needs a lot of help to build and prepare. And I'm constantly getting calls and questions and emails about, you know, from small businesses, especially Armenians, asking, how do I get involved? How do I take advantage of potentially the $100 billion that's going to be coming to mm-hmm. Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your suggestion? What's your thought?
So first and foremost, we got to make sure that we don't just rest on the laurels of our previous successes. We constantly hear about how successful the 1984 Olympics were. Well, a lot of people who now live and are in positions of influence in Los Angeles, whether in public or private sector or nonprofit sectors, were not even born back then, right? So we can't discount evolution. Just because we were successful 30 years ago doesn't mean we're going to be successful now again. We need to make sure we need to ensure our success, not 30 years, 40 years.
Wow,
40 years ago, that's when the Olympics were. So what are the things we need? First of all, we're working on the homeless crisis that we've had. This crisis was in the making for 60 years, better part of 60 years. So it's not going to go away overnight. This is an issue that's we're going to be needing to work on for the next 15 years intensely.
Wow.
To address, and then thereafter, ongoing, right? Because when you have a crisis, you need to triage it and figure out who needs the immediate need, who needs the short-term to intermediate need, who needs the long-term need, right? There's going to be a population that's never going to be able to work again, and we're going to need to provide for them. So it's not going to just be housing. It's also going to be long-term mental health, mm-hmm. addiction, and all other types of services. The short-term the mid-range folks are folks that need some support to get into place. Within a year or two, they'll be in place. The short-term folks, significant population that just needs, 3 months worth of maybe deposit for an apartment.
Right?
Just that. Enough of a support so that they don't fall through the cracks again. And 6 months of constant hand holding and making sure everything is okay, because of their period of time that they were homeless, they lost a lot of documents, the little things that we can take for granted, right? But they are restarting and rebuilding. And so we need to make sure they don't fall through the cracks again. Addressing homelessness in a mindful way so that we're not just sweeping it under the rug for the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
but utilizing the next 4 years to put a significant dent is going to be critical in this. Use a crisis to your advantage.
Right.
So we have a crisis and then we have a 4-year timeline.
Yeah.
How can we put the biggest dent so that after 4 years, after the Olympics are done, we still don't have the persisting problems, but we've dealt with it significantly enough.
Yeah.
So that's
and aggressively.
One. Exactly.
The 4 years is pushing us
exactly.
to do it really fast.
Exactly. So that's one. Two, we need to shore up our public safety.
Yeah.
We need to have more officers.
Yeah.
We need to train our officers how to deal with certain circumstances. The last 10 years, we demonstrated how we failed as a society. We didn't want to deal with the homeless circumstances. So what did we do? We had our fire and police deal with them. If they're not trained to deal with the circumstance, they're going to fail. And all it takes is someone with a phone video, to then demonstrate that failure. And so then we lash out as a society on police. How can you not prepare someone to deal with a situation and then tell them that they're failing?
Especially when you're dealing with people that have mental health issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we need to make sure that we're hiring more police. We need to make sure that we're making the city residents feel safe to raise their kids here and to invest in businesses. So the next morning when they come to their office or their business place of business, and they are opening their door, they don't walk into a business that's been broken into the night before to steal the copper wiring, right? So you need to make sure that people feel safe to raise their families and safe to invest and be invited to invest in Los Angeles. Third, housing. We need to build more housing. We need to make sure that the overall cost of living pressure that's on us now goes down with more housing. Housing is such a big part of our disposable income that when it's one thing when housing takes up 25-30% of your overall monthly income, it's another thing when it starts taking over 50% or 60%. Then it's tightening your other expenses and living circumstances, which is what's been precipitating and leading to a lot of people becoming homeless mm-hmm. in some form. So we need to build more housing so that we're bringing the overall cost of living down. So these are some of the critical areas. And economic development, going to your point, is the fourth pillar of all of this. If people if we want to have a thriving society where people want to invest in, they want to continue growing their talents, their businesses, their someone's worked 20 years in a certain industry, now wants to put what they've learned to practice in a retail business, you want to make sure people are feeling safe to do so and are working in an environment where they're getting the benefit of the city supporting them.
Break.